right hash mark, being pressured from behind by Justin Smith. They've got him! Justin Smith sacks him inside the 10.
Hi, this is Justin Smith. You're listening to 49ers Radio, the official podcast of the San Francisco 49ers.
Welcome back to 49ers Radio. Scott Kegley alongside senior reporter Taylor Price. And Taylor, we're on iTunes now. 49ers Radio on iTunes. I know we have a lot of subscribers. I know your family subscribes. My family subscribes. My mom's always telling me she listens to the podcast. So we want everybody out there, subscribe. 49ers Radio on iTunes. Taylor, we have the start of OTAs, next phase in the off-season program here for the 49ers. The whole team, rookie mini camp last weekend. We talked a little bit about that on last week's show, but really want to jump into OTAs, some of the storylines as the rookies merge with the veterans and get out there on the field and start seeing what the team's going to look like. And Taylor, what have you been, maybe your first impressions? I know we had one day this week that you were able to go out and watch the entire practice. What were some of the takeaways?
Well, Scott, the biggest thing was hearing from Coach Harbaugh and Colin Kaepernick after the on-field work. You know, the players themselves got on the field and made some plays, some nice touchdowns and some nice interceptions and this and that. But really hearing from the figureheads, Harbaugh and Kaepernick, after the session is what everyone really gravitated towards after the whole workout. So hearing Kaepernick talk about the plethora of weapons, the ammunition, the reloaded, restocked wide receiver group that they have now, that was really interesting to hear. And Jim Harbaugh as well mentioned how Kaepernick is poised for a breakout year. And yes, Colin has played in the Super Bowl and has had some amazing games, but he thinks it's going to be even bigger and better than before. Kaepernick looks sharp in practice, in full command, leader, a vocal guide, telling people how they should line up, what needs to happen on the practice field. And the maturation of Colin Kaepernick entering his fourth season, very exciting for this 49ers team. And I like the fact that Cap has that swagger. He's leading the show. And the highlight play, which I wrote about on the website, was the post-corner touchdown pass to the ageless Brandon Lloyd. Brandon Lloyd didn't play football last year, and Jim Harbaugh couldn't tell the difference. He says that Lloyd looks like a playmaking wideout running crisp, smooth routes, getting open, and that post corner on Parrish Cox, ball was right there, low mm-hmm. to the outside where only he could make the catch, and he was jolly on the spot, good footwork to make the reception, and that was what you want to see. And especially if you look at what the red zone issues have been with this team in the last few years, another weapon in the red zone could certainly help. And Lloyd, you know, Stevie Johnson in the mix, sort of overshadowing Lloyd right now, but if you watch, let the ball on the field, let it play itself out, you mean Lloyd is going to be in there in that conversation for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, and that's always kind of where I tend to gravitate to when we're out there and shooting video or taking photos like we have been the last couple of days. You always really want to see what the wide receivers are doing. It's they're fun drills to watch. They're competitive. There's a lot of new names in the mix. And you're always kind of drawn, at least you know me out there, always drawn to 13 and 84, just the way they run routes, and it's a new look, new styles that you haven't seen before. So you want to get accustomed to see how they do things. Kaepernick building chemistry with those guys, and that's really, you know, we talk and we kind of debate. There's lots of fun battles at this time of the year, but wide receiver, it's a fun position to talk about. It's just a sexy position to talk about, but there is going to be some competition there, and it's really going to affect what the 49ers do and how the 49ers success going forward. Another guy we want to talk about, Marcus Lattimore. He's out there working through something, but seems to be good. Seems to be back, seems to be healthy. He was out there running some cone drills and some ladder drills, kind of the old high step with Tom Rathman looking on. It was kind of like
on the Instagram
in slow mo. Thanks
check
to the
at 49ers on Instagram to see what Scott's talking about. I'm sorry to interrupt. It was Scott off the green while hopping that step.
Oh yeah, it's fun to see 38 out there on the field and looking good and getting into it and getting in a rhythm with the rest of the crew.
Lattimore is an exciting player, and not only do you feel for him because of the multiple injuries, the devastating graphic injuries that he had in college. Those were some gruesome plays, but he's the type of guy you want to root for. You know, as soon as we drafted him, and to hear the way John Gruden and all these other draft experts were hyping him up as a good character guy, and then to work with him and get to know him out here as a rookie, I mean, he's been a humble, hardworking guy, learning as much as possible from Tom Rathman, Frank Gore, Kendall Hunter, all the guys in the locker room, the running backs, all those guys he's learning from. And to see him out on the field right now doing his thing, catching passes, you know, doing individual drills, taking part in these workouts, it's really fun to see a guy who's sort of paid his dues and got himself to this point. And now Lattimore is out there reaping the benefits. He looks pretty healthy. He said he's working through something. Coach said it was a minor hamstring strain, something that was sort of bothering him. But, you know, we talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he was saying that there was no soreness in the knee. Everything was fine. It was just sort of getting back into football shape. And this is the time to do it. There's no pads. There's no contact. It's the time for the wide receivers and the running backs to get that on-field chemistry with the quarterbacks. And it's really a time for the offense to shine. And once the pads gets on, and then you sort of build up to that, and you can see where Lattimore's strength and his durability is and all that going into the preseason. But right now, looks sharp, and it's fun to watch him. Tank Carradine as well, another second-year player who we didn't see much of as a rookie. Didn't see him at all on the field, but, you know, overcoming an ACL injury. These guys are basically rookies and already, you know, on the field contributing in these offseason workouts. So Trent Baalke and them just keep adding to this roster, and it's going to be exciting to watch those two contribute as soon as we get going into the minicamps.
Yeah, and Tank looks the part, doesn't he? I mean, he's out there. He's a physical specimen. He lines up next to Glenn Dorsey and Ray McDonald out there in drills today, and he looks the part. He looks like he's ready to step in, and that's why he came in with so much hype into last year's draft, and a guy who probably could have gone much earlier if not for the injury. And when you have a guy like that you can just bring off the bench, and how he figures into this defensive line rotation, and the 49ers are, I think you can probably assume that somewhat safely, they're going to have a pretty deep, solid defensive line rotation. You have two guys there with Glenn Dorsey and Ian Williams at the nose, and then you have Justin Smith and Ray McDonald, Tank Carradine, Quentin Dial. How are these guys going to factor in? And you could keep on going. There's a wide-open competition. You never know who Jim Tom Sula is really going to have emerge from that group.
Yeah, it's the time of the year for the passing game and the offense. So the defensive line, they're getting their alignments and their technique, but they're not necessarily going all out like they would in training camp. So you can't get a fair evaluation of what they're doing right now. But Tank, you know, looks like he's moving around well, and no hindrance of the knee injury that cost him his rookie year. The late season college injury that he tore ACL that kept him out last year. But this is the deepest defensive line group I can remember with the 49ers. Tony Gerard Eddy, an undrafted player out of 2012 out of Texas A&M, looked really impressive. I mean, he is a good situational player last year. DeMarcus Dobbs played on the Tony Montana squad, can cover kicks if you need him. I mean, he's really athletic as well. So those two guys are just scratching the surface of what they can become. And if they earn the reps to be the backups behind Justin Smith and Ray McDonald, more power to him. But you also have Tank, who has some pass rushing, and that's something he's excited about, is rushing against interior blockers. If you're a defensive end, you're going up against a tackle, that's the most athletic lineman that you're going to face. But if you're a guy like Tank, who has some size, who can rush from the inside, you're facing a guard or a center who is not as athletic as those tackles. So those are matchups that the 49ers could potentially exploit. I expect them to do that this year. If Tank is ready to go, he could be on the field in nickel situations and add some depth. And so this defensive line group, like I said, it's exciting to see them. The depth, the numbers that they have right now, you don't need Justin Smith to play as much as he has the last few years, and that's going to make him fresher. And wow, that's just a scary thought. Even fresher Justin Smith on the field.
He never comes off the field. He's always like on the field. He's the Frank Gore of the defense. Yes. And if Jim Tom Sula takes him off the field, he probably hears about it too. But, I mean, Justin Smith's a team guy. He wants, every time you talk to him, he always says, hey, you know, he's not a media guy. He wants you to talk to the rookies and talk to some of those young guys working out.
He's a media guy when you need a podcast.
That's true. We did get the cowboy to voice the intro. Hopefully you've noticed. We may get a few other players to do some various intros for us, but we thought we'd kick it off with one and only Justin Smith. But yeah, Taylor, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, having him down the stretch in the playoffs, and you think of what he can do and the veteran experience and the presence he just brings on the field, he makes everybody better. When he's on the field, he makes every single person around him better. A lot's been written about Alden Smith, but I think if you asked Ray McDonald how impactful Justin Smith's been for him and probably even Tank Carradine now that he's been here for a year, I mean, everybody learns, everybody feeds off of him. And just really the impact that he's had on the defense really can't be understated.
Yeah, we have a couple more years with Justin here with the Niners, so hopefully we can really cash in and make it something special for him. So he's been a nice piece to this team the last few years, sort of helping reshape the locker room culture and the identity of the franchise. And yeah, Justin doesn't have to do much on the practice fields right now. You know what you have in him. Let the younger guys take advantage of these opportunities, because when September 8th rolls around, that's the first game, right? September 8th.
Believe so.
It sounds in my head September 8th.
It's so far away. There's Cowboys. So many things between now and then.
The Cowboy lines up against the Cowboys. When we're time to go, Justin Smith's ready to go. That's what I was getting at.
So, September 7th at Dallas.
I'm in day.
1:25 game, Fox.
We'll be there. So, don't worry, folks. We'll get the calendar adjusted there. Who else is staying out to you, Scott? Let's just throw it out there. We've been watching practices. 90 guys on this roster. We mentioned Lattimore. We mentioned Brandon Lloyd. Some of these guys that are standing out with the open practices that we were able to watch. Anyone out there that you'd like to talk about on the podcast?
Well, we've talked a little bit about some of the defensive backs already, and we talked about Dante Johnson, who I know we both think really looks the part as well out there, big physical corner. One guy, you know, don't necessarily think he gets enough attention, and maybe just kind of the first name that popped to my mind when you asked me, but Demo, Darryl Morris, fastest guy on the team, just as his role grows, you know, he comes in and picking up little pieces. Could he even be a guy that factors into the equation? Can he play a little bit more, in the base defense? But man, what a special teams player. It's been fun to see him really grow, and I mean, he's just getting bigger, getting even more physical, and for a young guy who can fly around like that, that might be the first name that pops to mind, but I'm sure there are more.
Yeah, you mentioned Morris, and I start thinking about the cornerbacks. Jermaine Brock, caught up with him, I think, a month ago. He was here before the workouts officially kicked off. He was in the building early, and that's a great sign. He signed a contract extension last year. He's the number one cornerback right now on the team, and he's sort of walking the walk, you know. Not, you know, had some comments saying that he wanted to be one of the elite cornerbacks in the league. That's what he told us, and he's out here working his way to be that player. And you see number 26 out there, and he's in position, making some nice plays. He's running the cornerback room right now. You gotta like the way he's out here approaching this as a professional, being a leader. The other guy that I wanted to bring some attention to is Michael James. You know, there was some talk about him not being around, but he's been here for OTAs. He looks a little bit bigger. I mean, I'm not a fitness expert by any means, but I can see with my own eye he looks a little bit bigger. Like he might have put on some weight, some good weight. Looks a little more bigger than he has the last few years, and so he's getting a lot of reps right now. Lattimore is working his way into the mix. Carlos Hyde is still learning the offense. Kendall Hunter knows this offense. And so Michael James is getting some reps here in the offseason. And, you know, the team, the way Jim Harbaugh and Trent Baalke talked about him, they're very excited about him as a return specialist. So you got to like the way James is sort of growing his body, getting ready for another season, and potentially being a third down factor, being more of a receiver, whatever it might be. But Michael James, from what I've seen, looks impressive and has had a good attitude about getting back to work. So that's a good sign for the Niners.
Yeah, absolutely. I was also going to bring up Kilgore, Daniel Kilgore and Marcus Martin, too, at center. Just watching, I know they're kind of on the far side of the field when the media comes out to watch, but just watching those guys a little bit today, a little bit yesterday as well, But, I mean, Marcus Martin, for a big guy, can move. Yeah. And Daniel Kilgore is really, I mean, he's, you mentioned being able to put on a little bit of weight and Michael getting bigger. I mean, looks like Kilgore now looks like an NFL center. And a lot, especially linemen, you come in from some of the smaller schools, kind of takes a while to really develop and really, you know, look the part. And Daniel Kilgore certainly does. Marcus Martin, maybe not too far away yet. You know, you see the potential is there. Skilled offensive lineman in his own right. But, you know, we were able to talk about a few of the things coming up and things that we've done here on the49ers.com. Talk to Carlos Hyde. He's down at the rookie premiere, but we were able to catch up with him before he went down to L.A., I believe it is. They're down in L.A. For the rookie premiere. And Carlos Hyde, I mean, just talking about being a throwback, a do-it-all type of guy. You mentioned some of the backs that he looks up to, and it's been, you know, written about before that it looks up to and admires Frank Gore, but just loves the little things that he does well too, not just his running style, but the way he blocks. And he pointed out just how physical of a guy he was, and those being traits, and how he is able to catch the ball out of the backfield, things that he really prides himself on. And when you have a young guy coming out of college saying that they want to be able to do it all and they want to be able to mix it up, that's really the attitude. I mean, that's a Tom Rathman type of attitude and a Frank Gore type of attitude. And so many times, I mean, you have some of the shiftier runners, you have big backs. Kind of seems like college has kind of gone more that direction. And for a guy to come out and just say, I want to be an all-purpose back, I want you to give it to me, first down, second down, third down, I want to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield and lead block for the quarterback if I had to, which he had to do with Braxton Miller at Ohio State. And he kind of got fired up just saying, hey, I got a guy in Kaepernick I can lead block for too. You don't get that every day.
Yeah, El Guapo.
The handsome one.
The handsome one.
Mixing
very,
it up.
Very diverse in his talents. And Frank Gore, that's the guy to learn from. You put on the 21 tape and you're going to learn how to block, how to lead block, how to catch out of the backfield, and how to be a tough inside runner and a smart runner at that. I mean, Frank Gore, throw this out there against Seattle, broke off that big 50-yard run and stayed in bounds, let the clock burn down a little bit. So just a heady player, a talented, physical runner. You know all about Frank Gore. I don't need to go through all the laundry list of accolades he's accomplished here. But, you know, Carlos Hyde was a really good interview and interesting to hear his mindset as he approaches his rookie season. And talking to some of the other guys that we're going to be featuring next week, one guy I want to give a little teaser on is Vance McDonald. Remember him? Second-round draft pick, tight end.
Number 89.
Had some growing pains last year, and he was the first to admit that it was a blur learning the system as fast as you're thrown into the mix and being counted on to be a number two tight end. And now he has a new position coach in Eric Mangini. And Vance McDonald's getting a lot of reps in the OTAs and making the most of it, looking like a improved player. Has longer hair now, if you can imagine that. He's looking quite long and doesn't know if he should cut the hair or not before his wedding that's upcoming. That might be a little bit off the off topic there, but Vance McDonald, excited to see what's going on with him. We caught up with him. That's something that you can look forward to next week on 49ers.com. And I know, Scott, we have a bunch of other things in the works, highlight videos, more interviews, more player updates, and it's a good time. It's a good time to get that football feeling back, because I know the draft's exciting. You get that thrill of schedule release and the draft and all these sort of key moments with the stadium and things that are going on. But to be out on the field, watching the football being thrown around, you can't beat that.
Yeah, and give everybody a little preview, too, of Niner Talk OTA's Week 3 edition.
Yeah, well, we have some Niner talkage next week. You guys love to send me questions, and I have a good time answering those. And the defensive line group is one that we talk about. Who's going to win that competition? Is it Ian Williams or Glenn Dorsey? And just to give you a little summary of my thought is, it doesn't matter who wins the job, because whoever doesn't win the job has versatility to play defensive tackle and be a fourth man of sorts for this defensive line group. These guys, Dorsey and Williams, can play all over the defensive line. So it doesn't necessarily matter who's that base nose tackle. They can affect the game in a variety of ways, and it's just a luxury to have. But the Niners haven't had in previous years to have six 5'6" defensive lineman who can really play. So that was a high point of the show. I know we don't get a lot of love to Jim Tom Sula and his defensive linemen. There's always talk about wide receivers and running backs, which we do talk about in the show. But the defensive linemen, I want to give it proper due that they did get some love this week on Niner Talk.
Next week on Niner Talk. I like that. And Taylor, a final, it's kind of parting shots. We got NBA playoffs. We got NHL playoffs, which I'm still watching, even though the Sharks aren't in it. I love playoff hockey. What else do we got? We got regular season baseball too. Yeah. Give me who's making the finals in the NBA. Maybe I'll take the NHL, and we can go from there and close this thing out.
Yeah. So the NBA, it's the Miami Heat. It's just a matter of time before they finish off Lance Stephenson and the Indiana Pacers. Game 5 was hilarious. If you're not looking at the internet these days, you're missing out, because that game was some great material for the internet. So Miami's going to do their thing, and I like the way that Thunder are coming back now. Serge Ibaka's back in the mix, making some nice plays. Russell Westbrook sort of stealing the show a little bit from Kevin Durant. I think that could go 7 games. If it goes to game 7, I'm going to go with the upset. I think the Thunder can do it because
they just
have the firepower. And how great of a finals would that be to see LeBron and Kevin Durant in the same finals? That would be like Magic and Bird. So that's something I'm hopeful for. And if it all goes down, I'm still taking King James, because as much as people want to, you know, hate on the man for going down to Miami and leaving Cleveland behind, he's still the best of our generation and exciting player to watch. So might not be a three-peat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in hockey. Just to recap, in case you don't know, in case nobody's following hockey.
No, I'm on top of it, but fill the other people at home. Fill them in on it.
Okay, well, let's start East Coast, Eastern Conference Finals, New York Rangers, Montreal Canadiens. I'm going to go with Montreal. No real reason why, other than, okay, the New York Rangers have the best goalie in the world with Henrik Lundqvist. They should get it done, but there's something that's telling me that this is Montreal's year. We have to. They're both original six teams, which is always good to see, but you got to get a Canadian team in the finals. I think it's just good for the game. So that's more who I'm rooting for than I think might actually win it. And then in the Western Conference, LA Kings came back, rallied down 0-3 against the Sharks, and you kind of see why. They were a pretty good team here, folks. As disappointing and disheartening as that series was for San Jose, man, the Kings can play some hockey, and they always do it this time. But the Blackhawks, they score on Jonathan Quick. They have this entire series, which nobody's really been able to do. They have to go to L.A. And win in Game 6. I think both of those series, well, they have to go 7 in order for all of this to happen. But I'll take Chicago. Chicago versus Montreal. Chicago takes home the cup. That's going to be my prediction there. So there's some non-NFL irrelevant sports musings to end the podcast. Maybe we continue this.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I think Niner fans are plugged into what's going on in the Bay Area and in the sports world. If you like the 49ers, chances are you're still watching NBA and maybe some hockey.
Yeah, maybe we can talk entertainment news, movies, music.
Yeah.
New albums. That's going to be coming soon.
Yeah, this is just the leftover section. And you know what I should throw out there is that fans that do listen to this podcast and follow Scott myself on Twitter, throw us a tweet, use the hashtag 49ers Radio, and send us some topics, some questions. You want a shout out, you want us to talk about you or your family, whatever you want, we're here for you. We're in the building 365 days a year. Mostly, but not 365. We're here all the time, so you want to talk Niners with us, we're always listening.
Yeah, hit us up and make sure to subscribe to 49ers Radio on iTunes. For one last time, Scott Kegley, Taylor Price, 49ers Radio.